Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. The first story in tonight's lesson is a very famous story. It's narrated by Bukhari. An Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala yawma khaybar la'utiyanna hadhi ar-ra'ya ghadan rajulan yaftahu Allahu ala yadayhi yuhibbu Allahu wa rasuluhu yuhibbu Allaha wa rasulahu ويحبه الله ورسوله قال فبات الناس يدوكون ليلتهم أيهم يعطاها. It's narrated on the authority of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Khaybar, I am most certainly going to give this flag tomorrow to a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conquer, give the conquest on his hands. He loves Allah and His Prophet, and Allah and His Prophet love him. So, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to give the honor of carrying the flag, meaning to lead the troops on the day of Khaybar to somebody specific. So the Rawi says, فَبَاتَ النَّاسُ يَدُوكُونَ. The people, they spent their night in discussion and pondering and thinking that who is this person going to be that the Prophet ﷺ so vividly described as being the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him and he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet. فَبَاتَ النَّاسُ يَتُوكُونَ لَيْلَتَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يُعْطَاهَا فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ النَّاسُ غَدَوْا عَلَى النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم كُلُّهُمْ يَرْجُوا أَنْ يُعْطَاهَا. The next morning, they came to the Prophet ﷺ, all of them hoping that they could be the one that is given the flag. Probably not because of the position of being the leader, but because they wanted to be in that category of loving the Prophet ﷺ and being loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالْ أَيْنَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? فَقَالْ هُوَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَشْتَكِي عَيْنَيْهِ. So they said, oh, him, O Prophet of Allah, his eyes are hurting him. قَالْ فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ فأتى فبصق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في عينيه ودعا له فبرأ حتى كأن لم يكن به وجع. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent for him, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spat in his eyes, meaning he put some spit in his eyes, and he made dua for him, and he became well until it looked as if he didn't have any problem at all with his eyes. فأعطاه الرأي. And he gave him the flag. فَقَالَ عَلِيٌّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُقَاتِلْهُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مِثْلَنَا. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, should I fight them until they become like us? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُنْفُذَ عَلَى رِسْلِكَ حَتَّى تَنْزِلَ بِسَاحَتِهِمْ ثُمَّ ادْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. So he asked, should we fight them? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no. Unfudh ala rislik basically means carry on, meaning go according to how you're supposed to go, go at your own pace, and until you enter into them, meaning you come onto them, meaning you come close to them, then call them towards Islam and advise them about what is incumbent upon them from the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost is the da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not fighting and jihad and qital. First and foremost, it is the inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a very important statement, which is often quoted. فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمُرٌ نَعْمٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, I swear by Allah that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides through you one man, it is better for you than red camels. Now, red camels, even to this day and age, are very prized possessions amongst the Arabs. It's like, you know, if a person has a very valuable, a very expensive car, a Lexus or a Mercedes, and this is a prized possession of his, he's very proud of it. So in those days, and even to this day, red camels are very, very precious to the Bedouins. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ali radiallahu anhu that if one person becomes guided through you and comes into Islam through you, it is better for you than these red camels. So It's not an issue of killing and basically forcing people into submission and so on. It is inviting and making and advising people to become Muslim, and this is the key for da'wah, first and foremost. So this is one riwayah of Bukhari. The next riwayah, it is on the same, it has the same kind of lesson. It's narrated from Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. He said, أَنَا أَسَرْتُ الْحَكَمْ ibn كَيْسَانِ. I took Hakam ibn Kaysan as a prisoner, meaning during some sort of fight or battle, I took Hakam ibn Kaysan as a prisoner. فَأَرَادَ أَمِيرُنَا ضَرْبَ عُنُقِهِ. So our Amir intended to kill him. فَقُلْتُ دَعْهُ نَقْتَمْ بِهِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Leave him, let's take him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَدِمْنَا, and we came. فَجَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَدْعُوهُ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. The Prophet ﷺ started inviting him towards Islam. فَأَطَال, and he took a long, long time inviting him, advising him, telling him, explaining to him. فَقَالَ عُمَر, عُمَر رضي الله عنه said, عَلَى مَ تَكَلَّمْ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What are you talking to him about, O Prophet of Allah? You know, why do you have to have such a long discussion with him? As we know, Umar رضي الله عنه, he was a little bit short-tempered and he used to want to do things in a hurry. So he said, why are you continuing this talk with him, O Prophet of Allah? Wallahi la yuslim hadha akhir al-abad. Said, this person, I swear, he will not become Muslim until the end of time. Meaning, forever and ever, he will never become Muslim. This is such a stubborn man. Da'ni adrib unukahu wa yuqaddam ila ummi al-hawiyah. Let me kill him so that he can go to his abode in the hellfire. Let me just finish him off because he's not going to become a Muslim. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَا يَقْبَلُ عَلَىٰ عُمَرْ حَتَّى أَسْلَمَ الْحَكَمْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not accept this proposal of Umar until Hakam actually became a Muslim. فَقَالَ عُمَرْ, Umar رضي الله عنه said, فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ رَأَيْتُهُ قَدْ أَسْلَمْ حَتَّى أَخَذَنِي مَا تَقَدَّمَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرْ. And as soon as I saw him, that he had become a Muslim, that I felt guilty of all of the things that I had said prior to this. وَقُلْتُ, and I said to myself, كَيْفَ أَرُدُّ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَمْرًا هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي. How could I reject, or how could I respond to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with a situation about which he is more knowledgeable about it than me? ثُمَّ أَقُولُ إِنَّمَا أَرَدْتُ بِذَلِكَ النَّصِيحَةَ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. Then I said to myself, Umar radiallahu anhu said, that I said to myself that I was only intending good for Allah and His Prophet, meaning I just felt that this person was not going to become a Muslim, so I just wanted to hurry up and just finish the situation, and my intention was only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. فَقَالَ Umar, Umar radiallahu anhu said, فَأَسْلَمَ وَاللَّهِ فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ. He became a Muslim, and I swear by Allah, his Islam was so beautiful. He became a very beautiful Muslim. وَجَاهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ حَتَّى قُتِلَ شَهِيدًا بِبِئْرِ مَعُونَةً. And he fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and until he was killed as a martyr in Bi'r Ma'una, a battle of Bi'r Ma'una. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى رَاضٍ عَنْهُ وَدَخَلَ الْجِنَانِ. And he died while the Prophet ﷺ was happy with him, and he entered into paradise. So that same person whom Umar radiallahu anhu felt was not going to become a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ kept on and persisted and persisted. He became a Muslim, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, let me send him into Jahannam. And the Prophet ﷺ was insisting, no, I want to try my best so that he doesn't become a dweller of hellfire, he becomes a dweller of the paradise, and he became a Muslim. And in another riwayah, it's narrated that Al-Hakam, the same person, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wamal Islam? What is Islam?" قال تعبد الله وحده لا شريك له. That you should worship Allah subhanahu wa taala alone. You should not commit any shirk with Him. وتشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And you should bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His prophet. فقال قد أسلمت. So he said that I had become a Muslim. فالتفت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أصحابه فقال. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turned to his companions and said, لَوْ أَطَعَتُكُمْ فِيهِ آنِفًا فَقَتَلْتَهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. If I had listened to you just now about his situation and you had killed him, then he would enter the hellfire. So just, you know, this the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, persisted with him and gave him da'wah, then we see that he became a Muslim and he became the dweller of Jannah rather than the dweller of the hellfire. So patience is of the utmost importance for a person who is giving da'wah. This is the lesson we learn from this. And then secondly, we should never ever lose hope in anybody not becoming a Muslim. We can see the worst person in the world who comes in and he wants to become a Muslim. We might think to ourselves, we prejudge him. And we think that, oh, this person, how's he going to become a Muslim? This lesson, we learn from this story, that we should never prejudge anybody. Hidayat and guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is shown by this story that we just heard. The next riwayah is about Wahshi ibn Harb. Now, if you are familiar with who Wahshi ibn Harb was, in the Battle of Uhud, he was the one sent by Hind bint Utbah to kill the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. He was a very, very experienced spearsman. He could throw the spear from far away and he could get his target. And through that, he killed the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu anhu, whose nickname was Asadullah, the Lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know the barbaric thing that happened to Hamza radiallahu anhu after that. His whole stomach was cut open and his liver and his entrails were taken out. And the liver was taken to Hind bint Utbah. And she basically, it's reported that she chewed on the liver out of revenge for her own relative or cousin that had been killed in the Battle of Badr. And not only that, his ears were taken off and she made a necklace out of his ears. And this Hind bint Utbah, later on, she also became a Muslim. Okay, after the conquest of Mecca, she became a Muslim after she saw the peace that Islam had. Instead of taking revenge, the Prophet ﷺ forgave all of the persecution that had happened and all of the crimes that the Quraysh had committed for so many years, and he forgave everybody. And when she saw this, she also became a Muslim. So this story, the next story, is about this Wahshi ibn Harb, who is about to become a Muslim, and he is basically asking the Prophet ﷺ so many questions that how is it that Allah can forgive me after the crimes that I've committed? And verse after verse is being revealed to assure him that forgiveness is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a sincere tawbah, sincere repentance, is sufficient for a person to become Muslim and have all of his previous sins forgiven. It's narrated, it's a riwayat of Tabrani from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who said, Ba'atha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila Wahshi ibn Harb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for Wahshi ibn Harb, Qatilu Hamza radiallahu anhu, yadu'uhu ila al-Islam, who was the killer of Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he intended to give him da'wah towards Islam. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. So he sent a message back, O Muhammad, كَيْفَ تَدْعُونِي وَأَنْتَ تَزْعَمُ أَنَّ مَنْ قَتَلَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ أَوْ زَنَى يَلْقَ أَثَامَ يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا وَأَنَا صَنَعْتُ ذَلِكَ. He sent the message back, quoting a verse from the Quran. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, basically he said, كَيْفَ تَدْعُونِي. How is it that you're giving me an invitation and you assume, meaning, in this is mentioned in the Quran, you think that whoever kills or commits shirk or does zina, adultery and fornication, he is committing a sin and his adab is multiplied and it will be multiplied on the Day of Judgment and he will stay in it forever and ever. So this is a verse from the Quran. And the next verse is, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except for the person who repents and he does good deeds. So, he says that I've done all of these things. I've committed shirk, zina, killing and everything. How is it that I can be forgiven? فَهَلْ تَجِدُ لِي مِنْ رُخْصَةٍ. Do you find any opportunity for me, any chance for me that I can be forgiven? فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the next verse. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتٍ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. The meaning of that verse, except for that person who makes tawbah and he does he has iman and he does good deeds, then those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only forgives them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes their sayyi'at, their sins, into good deeds. All of their sins that they've been accumulating, they will be turned into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ghafoor, He is forgiving, Rahim, merciful. فَقَالَ وَحْشِي. So Wahshi, he responded back. He said, Ya Muhammad, هَذَا شَرْطٌ شَدِيدٌ. This is a very severe condition. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. فَلَعَلِّي لَا أَقْتِرُ عَلَى هَذَا. This condition that has been mentioned in this verse, that a person has to make tawbah, and he has to have iman, and he has to do all of these good deeds, this is very, very difficult. And maybe I'm not going to have the ability to do that. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. The verse which I quoted in today's khutbah, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not forgive a person if he commits shirk, but He can forgive whatever He wants other than that. He can forgive other than that, whatever He wants. فَقَالَ وَحْشِي. So Wahshi said, Ya Muhammad, هَذَا أَرَى بَعْدَ مَشِيئَتِهِ فَلَا أَدْرِي هَلْ يَغْفِرُ لِي أَمْ لَا. This verse, it talks about the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, meaning in the verse, you know, look at the fine points that Wahshi was bringing out. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive whom He wants, whoever He wants, if He wants. Meaning, so Wahshi said that what if He doesn't want it? What if He doesn't want to forgive me? Because it says if He wants. So what if He doesn't want to forgive me? فَلَا أَدْرِي هَلْ يَغْفِرُ لِي أَمْ لَا فَهَلْ غَيْرُ هَذَا. So I don't know if He's going to forgive me or not. So is there anything else that you can tell me? فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran, in Surah Mu'min, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh my slaves. So this person, look at him. He has committed the most barbaric of acts. The most barbaric of acts. And he is admitting that he's killed and he's committed zina and he's done shirk and so on and so forth. But with how much love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this verse, says, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that have transgressed upon themselves, لَا تَخْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive all of the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is Al-Ghafoor, He is forgiving and He is merciful. قَالَ وَحْشِي هَذَا نَعْمٌ. Wahshi said, yes, this is acceptable to me. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, when Allah promises that He will forgive all of the sins, yes, this is acceptable to me. فَأَسْلَمْ, and he became a Muslim. فَقَالَ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذَا أَصَبْنَا إِنَّا أَصَبْنَا مَا أَصَابَ وَحْشِيٌ قَالَ هِيَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ عَامَّةٌ. So, the people said that, you know, a lot of people have had the same situation, we've committed the same sins. So basically the question was this verse specifically for Wahshi? The Prophet ﷺ said no. It's for every single person who wants to make tawbah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can make tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. It is not just specifically for Wahshi. The next riwayah, basically, it's a little bit of an extension of what has been mentioned before. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ نَاسًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ كَانُوا قَدْ قَتَلُوا فَأَكْثَرُوا وَزَنَوْا فَأَكْثَرُوا فَأَتَوْا مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَالُوا إِنَّ الَّذِي تَقُولُ وَتَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ لَحَسَنٌ لَوْ تُخْبِرُنَا أَنَّ لِمَا عَمِلْنَا كَفَّارَةً. فنزل والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ونزل قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. It's reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that people from the doers or practitioners of shirk, they used to kill and they killed a lot, and they used to commit zina and they did a lot of zina. So they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, that indeed the thing that you are saying and which you are inviting towards, it is very good. If only you could tell us and inform us that whatever we've done in the past, there is a kafara for it. There is a ransom for it. There is some kind of forgiveness for it. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran that those people that don't call with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala another God, and they don't kill any nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, except with the right, and they don't commit zina, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their sins. And the same verse as mentioned before, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَخْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. According to this riwayah, it was revealed, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it to them, that they should not be afraid, they should commit tawbah, and then they should hope for the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next riwayah is a very moving riwayah. It is the story of how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one day came back from a journey. It's mentioned in Tabrani and Abu Nu'aym and Hakim said that قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي غُزَاتٍ لَهُ فَدَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدَ فَصَلَّى فِيهِ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came back from one of his ghazwat, and he entered the masjid and he prayed two rak'at there. So this was his habit. Whenever he used to come back from a journey, he used to pray, go to the masjid first and pray two rak'at. وَكَانَ يُعْجِبُهُ إِذَا قَدِمَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْمَسْجِدَ فَيُصَلِّي فِيهِ رَكَعَتَيْنِ يُثَنِّي بِفَاطِمَةٍ ثُمَّ أَزْوَاجَهُ. And then what he used to like was that whenever he used to come back from a journey, that he used to enter the masjid and he used to pray two rak'ah, and yuthanni bi Fatima means at the same time he used to visit Fatima and then his wives. So one day, فَقَدِمَ مِنْ سَفَرِهِ مَرَّةً. One day he came back from a journey. فَأَتَى فَاطِمَةً. And he came to Fatima radiallahu anha. فَبَدَأَ بِهَا قَبْلَ بُيُوتِ أَزْوَاجِهِ. And he started visiting her before he even visited his wives. فَاسْتَقْبَلَتْهُ عَلَى بَابِ الْبَيْتِ Fatima. So Fatima radiallahu anha, she met him and received him at the door of the house. فَجَعَلَتْ تُقَبِّلْ وَجْهَ. And she started kissing his face. وَفِي لَفْضٍ فَاهُ وَعَيْنَيْهِ وَتَبْكِي. And according to one riwayah, she kissed his mouth and his eyes and she started crying. فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مَا يُبْكِيكِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to her, what is making you cry? قَالَتْ. She said, أَرَاكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She said, O Rasulullah, I see you. I'm looking at you. قَدْ شَحِبَ لَوْنُكَ. The color of your face has become changed because of wandering around in the sun. The face has been changed. He's sunburned. He's becoming dark. And his skin is basically showing the effects of the hardship that he's going through. قَدْ شَحِبَ لَوْنُكَ. وَخْلَوْلَ قَدْ ثِيَابُكَ. And your clothes are in tatters, meaning they're ripped and they're in very bad shape. فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to her, يَا فَاطِمَة, O Fatima, لَا تَبْكِي, don't cry. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ أَبَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ لَا يَبْقَى عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ الْأَرْضِ بَيْتُ مَدْرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ وَلَا شَعْرٍ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِزًّا أَوْ ذُلًّا حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ حَيْثُ يَبْلُغُ اللَّيْلِ. So he said to her, don't cry, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent your father for such a situation, for such an order, that there will not stay on the face of the earth any house made of clay or any house made of brick or made of hair, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter this deen into it, whether it will go in with respect or it will go in with disgrace. Meaning, the person who accepts it will either be full of respect or he will be disgraced. And this deen will enter and go to the place where the night reaches. Meaning it will reach the ends of the earth. Wherever darkness descends, that place will hear about this deen and people will know about this religion. And if you can imagine, this was the very beginning of Islam. And Fatima radiallahu anha, she is basically seeing that people are rejecting and persecuting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again and again, he's being shunned and he's being turned away from people's doors. He's being ridiculed. He's being called a magician and a soothsayer and a fortune teller. and a poet, and she sees the Prophet ﷺ in this situation, and the Prophet ﷺ is giving her glad tidings that this deen will reach the ends of the earth. Like, if you can imagine how impossible that it could seem for a young girl to take that in, but how much conviction the Prophet ﷺ had when he's telling her this. And there's another riwayah, which is along the similar lines. It's narrated from Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, who said, سَمِعْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said that this situation, meaning this deen, will reach the places where night and day reach. وَلَا يَتْرُكُ اللَّهُ بَيْتَ مَدْرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِعِزِّ عَزِيزٍ أَوْ بِذِلِّ ذَلِيلٍ عِزًّا يُعِزُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْإِسْلَامُ وَأَهْلَهُ وَذِلًّا يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْكُفْرُ. So, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will not leave any house, whether that house is made of clay or made out of brick, except Allah will make this deen enter into that, whether with respect or with disgrace. Respect meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respect people through Islam if they become Muslim. And disgrace, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace the people of kufr with this deen. وَكَانَ تَمِيمُ الدَّارِ يَقُولُ عَرَفْتُ ذَلِكَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. I saw this even in my own family. He said, لَقَدْ أَصَابَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ مِنْهُمُ الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرَفَ وَالْعِزُ. Whoever became Muslim from my family, I saw that they saw khair, goodness and honor and respect. وَلَقَدْ أَصَابَ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ كَافِرًا الظُّلْ وَالصِّغَارُ وَالْجِزْيَةُ. And whoever remained a kafir and a disbeliever, he got disgrace and he was basically belittled and he had to pay the jizya. So this was the situation of people who, and will be the situation of people who either accept Islam or reject Islam. With this, inshallah, we finish. There are a few more riwayas in the chapter, but inshallah, we'll continue them next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba and give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what is being said and heard.